Did your parents ever say to you, enough is enough? They ever bring that line across? You crossed a line and they just said, that's it. Enough is enough. Maybe it was a teacher at school. You ever have a teacher at school look you in the eye and with that teacher voice? Anybody got a teacher voice? I've heard Dan Fuller use a teacher voice. Man, that thing's scary. Use that teacher voice and say, enough is enough. They get the eye, they get the face, they get the mouth, they get the tone, and all of a sudden it's like, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, I understand. Enough is enough. In 1 Peter chapter 4, I want us to see tonight that God says to us, enough is enough. Enough is enough already. And it's interesting because he uses that word here in this passage. But as we go through this, we're going to see that we need to make the determination in our own lives. Not just that God has said it, but we need to make the determination in our own life. But enough is enough. So I want us to walk through this, these first few verses of this chapter, and just see some things that should help us as Christians to know that God's drawn a line for us. And it's not that we should see how close we can come to the line that God has drawn. But when God draws a line, we need to say, I don't even want anything to do with that line. I don't want to see how close I can come. I want to stay as far away from it as I can. And so in these first few verses, and I know that the first couple of these verses were looked at last week, I just want to review them, but I want to use them as a way to see how this whole passage flows together. Of God saying, you know what? Enough is enough. And what he says, that word enough, is found down in verse 3, where he says that you've spent enough of your time doing something. Now, back in chapter 3 and verse 21, God said that baptism doth also now save us. He said that here's the starting point, that baptism saves us. And when you were saved, you entered into a relationship with God. And now he's saying, now that you're in a relationship with God, you've spent enough time living that life that you did before. But I want you to see something in these verses, is that he emphasizes it over and over. Look at verse 1. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. God looks at sin, and you know what he says to you? You know what he says to me? David, enough is enough already. You need to cease from sin. That's my desire for you. Look in verse 2. You don't have the word cease, but he says that he no longer, you cease from it, and now he says no longer should you be involved in this lifestyle. No longer should you live the rest of your time in the flesh for the lust of men. Stop living this way. Cease from it. No longer live this way. And then down in verse 3, he says, you have spent enough. Maybe your translation doesn't have the word enough. Maybe it has the word sufficient. As if to say, you have met your quota. You have met your limit on living like the world, and enough is enough. You have spent enough of your past lifetime doing the will of the Gentiles. So here in these three verses, cease from it, no longer, enough is enough, it's in the past. What does God say to us about that worldly life? God draws a line. And he says, David, enough is enough. You don't need to go that path. You don't need to follow in that direction. You don't even need to go back to it once you've come out of it. And what's interesting in these verses, in the Greek language, there's three perfect tense verbs. That may not mean a whole lot to you. But in the Greek language, they've got the present tense like we do. They've got a past tense like we do. But it's interesting that they have a perfect tense, which is a past tense, but it has built within it that this is something that happened in the past, but the results of that action are still abiding here today. It's not just something that happened, but it happened, and the results of it are still here today. And the perfect tense is not used a lot in the New Testament. But in these three verses, it's used three times. It's used in verse 1 with the word ceased. Those who have become Christians need to cease from sin. What does that mean? Perfect tense means your sin is in the past. And it needs to stay in the past because you need to have ceased from that. And then you come down to verse 3. And he says, you've lived enough of your past lifetime. We don't think of the word past lifetime there being a verb. We think of it as an adjective to describe the lifetime that we've had. But in the Greek, it's actually a verb. That this life is in the past. And it's a perfect tense to say it's in the past. And where does it need to remain? It needs to remain in the past. You've spent enough of your past lifetime doing. Doing is your third perfect tense verb. You did the will of the Gentiles. You did the will of man. When did you do it? You did it in the past. Where does it need to stay? It needs to stay in the past. God says to us, God says to me, David, enough is enough. You need to take that worldly life. You need to put it in the past where it belongs, and it needs to stay in the past. And so from here on out, what do you need to do? You spent enough of your past lifetime doing that. Now with the rest of the time that you have, spend it. What does he say at the end of verse 2? Spend the rest of your time doing the will of God. Look at the contrast in verses 2 and 3. Verse 2, you have him talking about the will of God. And in verse 3, you have him talking about the will of man. And he says, one of those you need to do, will of God. And one of those you need to stick in the past, and you need to leave it in the past. How are we doing with that? You know, living the Christian life is a constant struggle. We are going to be tempted by the devil on a daily basis to do what's wrong. Have we drawn a line? Have we said to the devil, you know what, devil? Enough is enough. I'm done with this. I'm done with what you're trying to get me to do. You have tricked me one time, two time, dozen time, 100 times. You've tricked me into doing that so much. You know what? Enough is enough. I'm going to put that in my past. And I'm going to leave it in my past. You know what? When we put our sins in the past and we leave them in the past, you know what God does with those sins? He forgets all about them. He doesn't ever remember that we did them. God says enough is enough. But when you come down to verse 3, and that's where I want us to spend a good amount of our time tonight, where God says you as a Christian need to make the determination yourself. Not just say, here's what God says to you. You as a Christian need to make the determination that enough is enough. And I want you to consider tonight the 6 things that he mentions in this verse. Why does he mention these 6 things? What application do these 6 things have to me? Verse 3, he says, we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles. Well, what did we do? We walked. By the way, there's another perfect tense. We walked in lewdness. God is looking at you and he's saying, you've spent enough time in lewdness. What is that? Maybe your Bible has an easier word than lewdness. Maybe your Bible has lasciviousness. That's an easier word, right? We've had enough lasciviousness. And you're like, yeah, we've had enough. We have no idea what that word means, but it sounds bad, right? I mean, it just got lasciviousness. It just sounds devilish, right? Get rid of that. All right, maybe your Bible doesn't, maybe your word has a different word. Maybe it's got the word licentiousness. Oh, that's even better. That just makes, you know what that means, right? We look at those words and we think, I don't have a clue what that means. That's not something that's not something that shows up on my daily television programs. Maybe your translation doesn't have one of those words. I think it's the New American Standard that has the word sensuality. Oh, that begins to tell you a little bit more what it means. God says we've spent enough of our time in lewdness. The Greek word here for lewdness is the word asogeia, and I don't mention that to know what the Greek word is, but it's a word we need to know. Here's what this word means, and I want you to see if this paints a picture for you of what God thinks about when he uses this word. The Greek word means an absence of restraint. There's restraint that you're supposed to have, but in this case, there is no restraint. There's an absence of it. Lewdness is when you follow the inclination to sensuality. You just follow right down that path towards sensuality. In fact, it means it involves what tends to excite lustful or sexual desires. Lewdness is not talking about the sexual desires. Lewdness is not talking about sex. Lewdness is what is it that incites those desires? This is something that is leading up to those activities. Lewdness is an unbridled lust. It involves, the Greek language, the Greek definition means, it involves indecent bodily movements. It involves the unchaste handling of males and females. Does that give you an idea of what this word means? God looks at this word and God is describing for us marital activity that He reserves for a married couple, but has been taken out of the marriage relationship and is now between two people who are not married. And when something that is to be used within the marriage, even those desires and what entices those desires, God says, when what entices those desires is brought outside of the marriage between two people that are not married, God calls that lewdness, lasciviousness, and He says, enough is enough. We've had enough of that. When you hear those definitions, you think about certain activities that take place between two individuals that are dating, between two individuals that might be sitting on a couch or doing something else, maybe two individuals on the dance floor that are doing some things that incite, that excite certain desires within the human body, and God draws a line and says, enough is enough. Enough lewdness. The second thing he lists here is he says there have been enough lusts. It's interesting that you've got an S on the end of the word lust here. Not just lust, singular, but lusts, plural. By the way, in the Greek language, lewdness is also in the plural. So it's not just lewdness, singular, but it's lewdnesses, if that's such a word, in the plural. So here he's talking about lusts. And well, what's involved in that? Well, obviously, these are strong desires. Strong desires for that which is evil involves fleshly or sensual desires or longings that just crave to be satisfied in outward acts. It's not just the desires, but it's such strong desires and yearnings that these things want to be fulfilled in an outward act. And God says, Christians, that's enough. Enough with the lusts. You remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 and 28? As a man looks upon a woman to lust after her, he's already committed adultery in his heart. Why? Because there is a longing there for something that doesn't belong to him. There is a longing there for something that is not right for him to engage in. Unless he's married to that woman. Then it's okay. But outside the marriage relationship, it is not okay. And God says, that's enough. It is disheartening. It is saddening. It is sickening. It is disturbing. You pick the verb. You pick the adjective. How readily accessible pornography is today. You can get it right here, right now, sitting in the auditorium with your electronic device. You can get it anywhere, anytime you want it. Sometimes you come across it even when you don't want it, because people are trying to bait you into it. The devil is trying to bait you into it. Brother in Christ, God says to us, enough is enough. Draw a line. This doesn't just impact young men. It impacts all men. And God says to us, this isn't something to play with. This isn't something to enjoy. God draws a line, and I don't need to see how close I can get to it. I don't need to say, well, is this really considered pornography or not? I don't need to ask that question. God says, get away from it. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, he says, abstain from fleshly lusts that war against the soul. Abstain means run away from it. Don't dabble in it. Don't just say, oh, I can handle this. Wrong. The person who says, I can handle sin, has been deceived. In James chapter 1, verses 13, 14, and 15, God describes for us the process of temptation that leads to sin, that leads to spiritual death. And in verse 16, you know what God says after He describes for us temptation and sin and spiritual death? He says in verse 16, don't be deceived. You can't handle this. Don't play with this. Draw a line. But then the next three things on his list in this verse are interesting. You would think he would just list one. But he lists three different things here that could describe all the same thing. But he wants you to know that God sees all sides of this because God says there is enough drunkenness already. The Greek word here is the only time this word for drunkenness is found in the Greek New Testament. It is a compound word that takes the word for wine and takes the word for bubbling up or overflowing and puts them together. A compound word that says enough bubbling over or overflowing with wine. God looks at us and says, if you're one who is engaging in an activity where wine isn't, where strong drink, where drunkenness is involved, enough is enough. Draw a line. Get away from it. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, he says, do not be drunk with wine. Don't allow that process to start. Don't be engaged. Don't allow yourself to enter into that condition where I become drunk. Don't here be one who would be habitually involved in drunkenness. And he says, don't even allow yourself to draw close to that point. It's amazing how people are firm, how Christians can be firm against drunkenness, but yet some can say, yeah, but having a drink now and again is okay. Why do we want to play with what God said is wrong? Why do we want to creep up to that line that God has drawn where He said, David, enough is enough? Well, God, I can handle a little bit of this. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. God says that is a mocker, Proverbs 20 and verse 1. That strong drink, that alcoholic beverage, is mocking you. God says don't be deceived by it. Stay away from it. But it's not just drunkenness that he uses here. He says enough revelries, or your translation may have the revelings, or it may say carousings, or there's one translation that has the word orgies here. These are drinking parties. These were the word that was used here and back in the first century in the Greek language was used about guys who would stay up all night drinking at a drinking party, and then as the night wore on, these drunken stupor guys would be walking down the streets of the city, swaying and going back and forth, and they'd be singing at the top of their lungs, and they'd be shouting out at people, and God says, that's what's involved here. You know what? You know what's happening at that point? The wine is mocking them, because the wine's looking at what it has done to these individuals that are walking down these streets in that day and swaying back and forth and singing about in these streets and making fools of themselves. And what happened? What caused that? That strong drink that God said, get away from it. Don't be involved in it. So God not only talks about drunkenness, He talks about these matter of revelries or revelings, and then He uses a third word here, where God says, enough of these drinking parties. So He uses the revelings, and then He comes right out with the drinking parties. The old American Standard, I think, had the word carousings here. This word that's used here literally means, if you just want the basic literal meaning, it just means a drinking. Or it might mean a drinking bout. And what was involved, particularly in this word, were like drinking matches. You ever seen that on TV? Some people get in a drinking match. You put down a glass, I'll put down a glass. And God says, are you serious? You think that's a game? You think alcohol is a game to play? You think that which is going to get into your body and cause you to think and to do and to say things that are not appropriate and right with God, you think that's something to play with? God says, enough is enough. God used three different words in this passage to describe for us this matter of drinking. And those aren't the only three words he uses in the New Testament. He uses other words in the New Testament, and not just the New Testament, he uses it in the Old Testament as well. How is it that God can describe all of these things, and yet somehow we might try to justify our own personal liberty to drink? God says that's enough. And it's not the last thing that he mentions in the verse. He goes on to mention what are called abominable idolatries. What are these? Well, these things are the first five things on the list that he gives. They're the first five things on the list, from lewdness to lust to drunkenness to revelings to the drinking parties. It's these first five things on the list put into a religious context, put into a worship assembly. Doesn't that sound good? To take all of your lewdness, your lust, and your drinkings, and now let's use that to worship our God. That's what abominable idolatries are. Is there were Greeks who would take their lewdness, who would take their sexuality and their behavior in that regard, who would take their drunkenness and would take it into their worship assemblies and use that to praise their God. God wants us to see how ridiculous these things are for a child of God. And God says, enough is enough. And he wants us to make that determination. I hope we can. There's other verses that are on the screen for you to consider in these regards to these things tonight. And obviously there are other things that we could see with this. But it's interesting. Where God is talking to these Christians about their life and serving him. And God says, I need you to wake up. And he says, you've spent enough of your life doing that. Why would you want to go back and do that again? You need to cease from that. You need to no longer do that. You need to leave that in the past where it is and not bring it back. You're to be a Christian. You're to look different than them. You're not to see how close you can look like them. You are to be set apart from everything that's happening over there. And if I'm doing things at school, if I'm doing things at work, if I'm doing things at a high school dance or a homecoming dance or a high school prom, if I'm engaged in those activities, or if I'm there with my friends at a restaurant and I'm drinking just like they're drinking, what sets me apart from them? God says that's over there and you need to leave it over there. And then he says, you know what? The world doesn't like that. The world denies that enough is enough. And when you decide enough is enough, you know what they're going to do? They're going to be surprised at you. They're not just going to be surprised at you. They're going to be a little irritated with you. Oh, who are you? Oh, I see. Okay, you're too good for us now. Oh, you're one of those. You think you're just going to stop. You're not going to be involved now. Okay, so they're surprised, some translations say. New King James says in verse 4, they think it's strange that you're not going with them anymore. What happened? Where's David? David, hello? No, oh, sorry, we don't use phones anymore. They text instead of using the phone because nobody answers a phone. So they, hey, where's David? You're not here. Oh, you're not coming? Why aren't you coming? Oh, because that you don't think that, well, forget you. We don't want anything to do with you anymore. They think it's strange. And they begin to blaspheme you. They begin to speak evil. Did you hear about David? Yeah, man, that loser. You know, he's going to be coming back to us one of these days. He's going to learn better. He's going to be crawling back to us one of these days, big loser. They speak evil of you. They make fun of you. You ever had anybody make fun of you because you didn't go along with what everybody else was doing? That's what verse 4 says. You don't run with them in the same flood of dissipation, and they speak evil of you. The world says, no, enough is not enough. Do all you can for as long as you can, in whatever way that you can, and enjoy life to the fullest that you can, because that's what it's all about. And God says, don't be deceived. That's not the life that he wants us to have. And so one day in verse 5, one day God is going to have had enough. Remember Genesis chapter 6? In Genesis chapter 6, God had had enough. And God said, I'm going to flood the earth. The sin of the earth, I've had enough of it. One day God is going to say, you know what, enough is enough. It's interesting in verse 5 where it says, they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. The judgment day is coming, and you know who's ready for it? Jesus is. That's what it says. Jesus is our judge, and our judge is ready. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, what? The judgment. There is an appointment coming where we will all stand before Jesus on the day of judgment. And the thing we see here in verse 5 is that Jesus is ready for it. So the question tonight is, are you ready for it? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, we must. Think about that word. We must. Then the next word, all. No exceptions. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in his body. Not, you don't receive the things done in my body. I don't receive the things done in your body. I'm going to receive the things done in my body, whether they be good or whether they be evil. That day is going to come. It's going to come for these people that mock me because I don't run with them in the same flood of dissipation. But the reality is, it's going to come for all of us. Jesus is ready for that day, verse 5 says. Are we? God has drawn a line. God has said, enough is enough with this. We don't need to see how close we can get to that line. We need to see how far away we can stay from it and say, God, I'm not here to please myself. I'm here to please you. In John chapter 8 and verse 29, Jesus made this statement. He said, I always do those things that please him. I wonder if we could say something like that. I don't know that I could say I always do those things that please him because I make mistakes. But could you and I say, I always strive to do those things that please him. I always want to do those things that please him, not me. This world is not my home. I don't care about living it up in this world. I want to live it up in heaven. And God has told us how we can do that. Are you a Christian tonight? Are you on that path that God says leads to everlasting life? Are you ready for the day of judgment to come? You know, we don't know when that is. You know, we see a hurricane coming and coming and coming. We can look at the forecast for a hurricane. We know when it's coming and coming. And it gets old, you know, that forecast. Oh, day after day after day. It messes up your week to know it's coming and coming. All right, get here already. Let's get this over with already. The coming of Jesus, it's not going to be like that. It's not going to, oh, it's 5 days out, 4 days out, 3 days out. Oh, nope, 3.5 days out, he slowed down. 3 days out, 2 days, nope, he slowed down. It's not going to be one of these things where you keep checking the track to see if check for an update on it. You're not going to get a new track at 11 o'clock tonight to see how far Jesus' second coming is. The Bible says he's going to come as a thief in the night. Are you ready? You ready to stand before him on the day of judgment? You can be ready if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And having that faith in your heart, being ready to turn away from sin, make up your mind to stop doing what's wrong, start doing what's right. Repent of your sins. Leave them in the past. Say, stay over there. Cease from sin. No longer do it. Leave it in the past. Confess your faith in Jesus and be baptized for the remission of every sin you've ever committed. And strive every day to please him. If you're not a faithful Christian tonight, let us help you. Decide tonight to follow Jesus and come right now as together we stand and sing.